The Sun Will Shine Again Someday by Ronnie F. Wade. Chapter 5. A New Paper. As early as 1926, the future course of the Apostolic Way was evident. R. F. Duckworth and those sharing his sentiments were steering the paper in a direction that would ultimately end with the full endorsement of a plurality of drinking vessels in the communion. Even though H. C. Harper was one of the original three sharing in its beginning, he, because of conscience and principle, would withdraw from the paper that had held such promise for the promulgation of primitive Christianity. His resignation did not, however, signify an end to his opposition to innovations. He continued to travel, write, debate, and preach. Soon, brethren began to push for the establishment of a medium through which his and the views of those who agreed with him could be heard. There is an indication that he never really relished the idea of being the publisher of a paper, never really wanted the responsibility that accompanied such a task. The need existed. He could not deny that. He was capable. He could not deny that either. Brethren trusted him, had confidence in him. All this, combined with his love for truth, resulted in the publication of a new paper beginning in January 1928. His feelings that he had been cheated out of his rightful share of the Apostolic Way were hard to hide. He was, however, willing to forego what he felt legally and morally belonged to him in order to avoid a fight that would degrade and hinder the truth. With him, it would be better to walk away with his integrity intact than remain and be compromised or fight in courts of law and harm the church. For these reasons, he made it clear that his new paper, The Truth, would cater to no man or group of men. All sides of any question would be openly and fully discussed in its pages. With that basic format, it began. Small and humble, hardly noticed by some, casually given recognition by others, nonetheless it was here, and time would prove it was here to stay. Its ultimate impact would be underestimated by its foes and far exceed the expectations of its supporters. By September 1928, the demand became so great that The Truth was made a semi-monthly. The subscription price of $1 did not raise. The increased circulation covered the additional cost. It was billed as a high-class paper because, 1. It carries no commercial advertising. It is devoted solely to the restoration of primitive Christianity. 2. It boasts no schools nor any kind of human institution, but exalts the two divinely ordained institutions, the home and the church. It wants to see a clean church and a clean ministry. 3. It condemns all innovations that are disturbing the peace of God's people. It is fearful of no man. It fears God. 4. It has interested hundreds in the one church of our blessed Lord. 5. Its publisher has been known by the Brotherhood for years as an able, true, devoted, loyal servant of God. He said to me a short time ago, quote, "I have never been called a digressive," unquote. And I know that is true. J.D. Phillips. Commendations soon poured in from all quarters. It became evident that a vast army of silent voices were coming alive, the forces were assembling, the battle just beginning. A. H. Penninger of Memphis, Tennessee, wrote, "The first issue of The Truth was worth the whole year's subscription, Brother Harper. May God bless you richly. Our erring Sunday school brethren want another building. The little meeting house which we built and they took from us does not contain the necessary rooms to accommodate their classes, so they want to build a house with an auditorium and 6 classrooms, as there is so much confusion, they say, when all are reciting in the present one-room house. But they never can make their human institutions to conform to the divine pattern." His note about losing the building was commonplace in those days. Time and again, well-meaning, hard-working, conscientious brethren had walked away from buildings they had built and paid for because they could no longer conscientiously condone what went on inside. Earl West notes that in the instrumental music controversy, bitterness resulted more from loss of church buildings than debates. Such was also the case with the Sunday school and cups controversies. Dr. G. A. Trott. In his declining years, Dr. Trott occupied a very strange relationship to the Apostolic Way. He was, of course, one of the original founders. When the other editors resigned in 1926, he resigned with them. He did, however, continue as front-page writer as long as he lived. He never weakened in his opposition to Sunday school or a plurality of cups. He did, however, pursue a course of compromise in working with those who contended for more than one cup in the communion. The paradox of this entire scenario is seen when one reviews the literature of that period. In the first issue of The Truth, H.C. Harper wrote, "As Brother Trott will be connected with us prominently as a writer according to his promise, it is befitting that he be heard from at this time." He says, "I stand where I have always stood, for strict adherence to the precepts and examples of the New Testament, and shall advocate that principle until I die. I love you for your work's sake and your love for the gospel." At the same time, Trott continued to carry the fight for one cup in the columns of the Apostolic Way. This brought him into conflict with Cowan, Johnson, Clark, and others. Cowan declared, "I will not hold a position that I do not think I can defend in a public debate. I believe the contention over the one drinking vessel will eventually fall of its own weight and come to naught. Many are seeing the weakness thereof already and have quit the contention. Anytime the brethren pretty generally think such debate is needed, I am ready to represent what I believe to be the truth on the subject." Trott had long before made his position on debating clear. It mattered not to him whether the opponent be Cowan or someone else. "I regret very much the division that is being caused by brothers Clark, Johnson, and Cowan over the cup. Nothing would please me better than to meet either of them in debate." He emphasized, however, that even though he and Cowan had exchanged letters, no debate as such had taken place. "Brother Cowan and I corresponded briefly on the cup, but the subject was not gone into very deeply and consisted on Cowan's part mostly of queries, and I would not wish it to be published as a discussion on the subject, though I am willing to engage in a written discussion with anyone at any time." Quote, "As to the debate with Cowan, I am ready at any time." Unquote. Cowan replied, "I am trying to exercise good judgment as to the handling of the question." Good judgment on Cowan's part meant no debate with the doctor. Even though he had said, "Any time the brethren pretty generally think such debate is needed, I am ready to represent what I believe to be the truth on the subject." Trott felt smothering the disagreement was a poor way out, that the only honorable course was to come out in the open and discuss the differences. Though ready, he was also reluctant to debate because he, quote, "hated to destroy Cowan's prestige," unquote, in the Brotherhood. Yet truth must be defended and error exposed at all cost. He wrote to H.C. Harper, "I regret very much that Cowan has busied himself so greatly in the matter of the cup, but shall not flinch on account of the personal affection I have always had for him, and if he is foolish and egotistical enough to meet the issue, I shall not spare him." Harper, observing all this, was growing impatient. "The king's business requires haste," he declared. "Why the delay?" In his desire to bring things to a head, he had published quotes on a number of occasions from private letters in his possession that Trott had written. These revealing facts had put the doctor in a bind, to say the least. Trott tried to defend himself in the apostolic way by claiming the issue of quotes from private letters represented a breach of confidence. But Harper would have none of it. We include both articles so that the reader may be apprised of the events that occurred behind the scenes shaping the history of that period. Trott's Tangles. Our attention has just been called to an utterance in the Apostolic Way, November 1, 1928, and to help keep the record straight, we call attention to a few crooks, not to say crooksters, that need to be straightened out. Now read it. Liberties. G. A. Trott writes, "I do not wish to be oversensitive, but when I have reason to believe that the cause of Christ is being injured, I feel it incumbent upon me to speak out. I care but little for what effect may result from the actions of others of a personal nature toward me, as long as they do not harm the body of Christ. When I was young, it was considered dishonorable to publish abroad what was spoken or written in private conversation or correspondence without the consent of the one quoted. Times may have so changed that this is no longer considered unethical, but I cannot think a moral principle can be changed by custom, if it be a custom. I have had occasion to speak of this matter in connection with Brother Warlick's attempt to cover up his lack of scriptural authority for Sunday school by an expression of mine used many years ago in a private and confidential conversation concerning the feelings I had undergone years prior to that, and now I find that my name has been exploited again by disconnected quotations of sentences from private letters to which my consent was never asked and most certainly would never have been given. I have never said or written anything in an underhand way, nor used such methods as this under any circumstances. Brother Harper had no right to publish parts of private letters without my knowledge or consent, and I do not hesitate to say so. Many would think, for instance, that I had it in for Brother Clark, which is certainly not true. While I differed from Brother Clark on the cup question, and thought Harper got the better of him in that question, I have always believed that Clark was absolutely sincere. In fact, there is no one I love better or more sincerely admire than Brother N.L. Clark. I would not fail to speak out frankly and freely concerning any error I might think he was advocating, but there would be no personal animosity aroused in me. As a matter of fact, and to keep the record straight, I will say that I once held the same view as he now avows. But when the individual cups were introduced, I saw that I was wrong and that no man could use an argument for two cups that would not justify 100. Notwithstanding the many revolutionary changes that have taken place of late years, I am convinced that honorable men still hold to the doctrine that public utterances or writings may be publicly referred to, but that private conversations or letters may not be made public without the consent of the author. G. A. Trott. H. C. Harper replies, "You will note that the doctor cares but little for what effect may result from the actions of others of a personal nature towards him as long as they do not harm the body of Christ. So, unless telling the truth will harm the body of Christ, the doctor has no complaint coming. And if the truth was not told, he is the one that is to blame, for we let him speak for himself. As to the doctor's ethics, just turn to the following dates of the Apostolic Way, and you will find conversations and letters freely used, to say nothing of the interim from 1923 to 1928, May 1, 1928, June 1, 1928, July 1, 1928. Of course, as the doctor sees it, it is all right to use what the other fellow says when it can be made to squeeze the digressive Sunday school. But it is all wrong when it pinches the digressive advocates of the cups. But digression looks all alike to me, and I have good reason to know that God looks at it this way too. Is the man who thinks it is wrong to use 2, 4, 6, or 12 cups faithful to the word, doctor? Can you cite the word for this, doctor? If so, point it out to Duckworth, and maybe he can then defend the use of more than one. And I should like to see it done too, doctor. You surely do not want us to know that Duckworth will continue in a practice he knows to be wrong. So taking the more charitable view of it, doctor, we feel free to say that its editorial department does not remain faithful to the word and does not contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints in both doctrine and practice. You say, in reply to Cowan's "How is this?" which we published, what I wrote you was only intended as a private letter and not for publication. I certainly made that clear, December 21st, 1928. You did not. Listen, doctor. We wrote you and enclosed the matter and asked you to give us your reply to it. This you did, returning the matter with your reply and also a letter in which you said, "I am enclosing a few points on the one cup. I have not referred to the more obvious ones which have been brought out time and again, but I am not sure you will find anything new in this as far as you are personally concerned." October 23, 1928. You surely had no thought of writing it for me then, in so far as we were personally concerned. And since we learned through the Tucker incident, When Tucker spilled the beans at Moody, Texas, and said that Duckworth was grieved because Trot favored the truth as much as he did the way, and you, a short time afterward, wrote us that hereafter you would confine your writings to the apostolic way, and that there was no personal reason for this, but that you were not able to write for both papers, and yet you did kindly find time to make a brief but effective reply to Cowan's "How is this?" and sent it to us, and now complain that we publish it. We say, in the face of all this, that you must have been acting the hypocrite when you at first told us that you would not write for the truth because you were not able to write for both papers. What else can we make out of it? You did find time to write, and we were pleased to have it. Why then complain at its publication? I, too, care nothing for personal matters. It is all the same to me whether they kick me or pet me. I please God, not man. And when I see the body of Christ being torn asunder and mangled and romped on, I am ready to meet the opposition, and that without gloves. And if there is an open division again in the body, the church, it will be because some are willing to take a human creed, written or unwritten, rather than the word of God. And this is just what Cowan attempted with the churches in New Mexico. On this matter, God has spoken. Let man obey. You say, quote, "There will always be some brethren who need correcting and even rebuking," unquote. Perhaps so, Doctor. And we see that you are continually correcting and rebuking the digressive Sunday school advocates in the apostolic way. But your correction and rebuking of the digressive cups advocates, where is it, Doctor? Quote, "It is conspicuous by its absence," unquote. And when the muzzle was put on us by that minister of Satan and the cup's advocates began to march forth in glee to make havoc of the church, you mourned the digressive work, but not deeply enough to step out with me and remove the muzzle. And you know it, and God knows it, and you'll meet it at the judgment. And not until the paper The Truth was started were these digressive cup's advocates made aware that their work was to be sternly met with an open Bible. And they mourned its birth, as did every other digressive element in the church. And you stepped forward in the apostolic way to give it its first slap by telling a falsehood, that your name was connected with it as an editor. But they asked you to do it, didn't they? It does not take much discernment to see that you are their tool. Just pat some people on the back a little, and they are ready to kiss the big toe of the patter. We opposed linking the church up with a school, be it Sunday school or college, and use the paper to boost a school, and Clark knows it, and Freeman knows it, and Martin knows it. But no sooner was Duckworth in than he went bowing and scraping to Gunter. And now they have a real estate project to work out and a college to boost, and what with a printing press and a secular paper and a college hurrah, the church does not stand the ghost of a show. And they use you to toot the horn and swell the high notes, for it must have enough religion to make the suckers bite. And when they get politics going grand in the county paper, Duckworth will be in his natural element, judging the future by the past. Come to Georgia and see. And when, to make the way float without Harper, they pen to their masthead, "We care not who did it, this paper founded by G.A. Trot and W.J. Rice, A.D. 1913, they floated an unmitigated falsehood. Your letters and Brother Rice's and the files of the paper from the first issue are in my possession. Yes, Doctor, it is now evident that you would rather the brotherhood should lie supinely under falsehood and deception than that the truth should be told, and that, too, not because it would hurt the church, the idea that the truth should hurt the church, but because it would puncture the wind out of the cup's advocates and spoil the schemes of the famous wind jammer. And if this is your element, we gladly bid you adieu as one who is of no service to the church by way of bringing about the primitive order of things, and as one too weak to discriminate between a personal thrust at your family affairs, as was that of Warlick, and that of a manifestation of the truth in matters pertaining to the church, wherein falsehood was blocking the progress of truth. And if you are not now satisfied, come again. The way is open to you, it seems, on all matters except the correcting and rebuking of the cup's advocates. And if you do, it may be that we get the brotherhood waked up as to what is really going on. But I venture the guess that they will advise you this time to pursue the let alone and avoid them policy, as have the Sunday school advocates and all others devoid of the truth. Farewell. H. C. Harper. This article shows clearly the position truth occupied in the life of Brother Harper. He favored no man. He rebuked all when he felt truth and right were at stake. It really was not farewell, however. For only 1 month later, Harper challenged Trott to debate.